Yeah, he was here a second.
Randy, go.
Council come to order and the clerk will call the roll.
Fish. Fritz.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
So thank you everybody for attending. We have first item 40, time certain 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, Carla, could you please read that?
Did you want to get rid of the consent agenda first?
Sure.
Okay.
Does any of the council members want any of the items on consent removed?
Yes, I'd like to pull number 50.
Pull number 50, okay. Any member of the audience want any items on consent removed? If not, with the exception of item 50, can we call the roll on consent?
Fish.
Yes.
Fritz.
Yes.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. And we'll do item 50 after the time certain. So if we could read item 40.
Declare the purpose and intention of the city to rename the Convention Center Dock the Kevin J. Duckworth Memorial Dock.
Mr. Grum.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard. It's with mixed emotions that I bring this resolution to before council. Of course, this action celebrates Kevin Duckworth's place within Portland, within Portland's history, but his tragic death this past year, or past summer, is the impetus for this name change today. And so it's with these mixed emotions that I ask council to support this resolution to rename a dock in honor of Kevin Duckworth. Mayor Potter and I were discussing Kevin's contribution to Portland, his tragic passing last summer, and wished to memorialize his place in Portland's history by naming a prominent fishing spot after him. We'd both recently learned of his love for the outdoors and fishing in particular. So what better location, we thought, than the heart of downtown Portland in the shadow of the Rose Quarter on the Vera Katz East Bank Esplanade, on or naming the floating dock that's adjacent to the Vera Katz East Park, East Bank Esplanade. Mayor Potter and I submitted this request to the Portland Parks and Recreation Naming Committee. The currently named, dock's present name is the Convention Center Dock, that it be renamed as the Kevin J. Duckworth Memorial Dock. As council stipulated by approving a naming policy, a letter was sent to the Kearns Neighborhood Association, and the committee itself, comprised of citizens and city staff, reviewed this request and approved it. I know we have some friends of Kevin here today, and I look forward to hearing from them. But first, let me explain why I believe Kevin was truly a member of our Portland community and worthy of this gesture. I cheered on Kevin and all of the Trailblazers during the 1990s and remember the pure joy that those Blazers brought to us fans. And without Kevin holding down the paint, Clyde Drexler, Terry Porter, and Jerome Kersey could never have made it look so effortless. Oh, I'm sure I forgot somebody, too, and that's Buck Williams. Knowing he had his back probably helped as well. But Kevin, the Trailblazer, was only the beginning. Kevin adopted Portland as his home and embodied the Portland spirit of graciousness and politeness. As we all know, sometimes it is a bit to be polite on the hardwood court, but that was Kevin. And it was this unflappable calmness and kindness that I remember most about him. I would see him at Trailblazer community events and basketball camps, connecting with kids unlike most adults can. And he was often on the road promoting the team and youth activity in general. He was an amazing ambassador for the team and the city of Portland throughout our state and our region. It is one more reason to memorialize Kevin's place in Portland history. So I have Matt Grum of my staff here who can answer any questions the council may have regarding the process, and then I know we have some of Kevin's friends who wish to come up and speak on behalf of this resolution.
So I have a question, Matt.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'd like to know, in your professional opinion, who executed the pick and roll better, Duckworth and Porter or Malone and Stockton?
Ooh, putting me on the spot, Commissioner.
There's one right answer. You're not on the spot. There's only one way out of that.
Well, of course. Of course, Kevin and Terry, you know, they had an ability to quickly move through it. Of course, our Blazers.
Yeah, of course.
Don't get me going about Utah, right?
I just wanted to make sure that you were well prepped for this,
yeah,
this presentation.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Thank you.
So, Commissioner Saltzman, who would you like to call up?
Whoever signed up, we can certainly start with Bill Shonley.
We are honored to have Mr. Shonley and
Jerome Kersey also
Jerome
signed
Kersey.
Up.
Jerome,
why don't you come up too?
Please.
City Council members, thank you for having us here today. My name is Bill Shonley, long associated with the Portland Trailblazers. In fact, next year will be 40 years.
Wow.
Dan, can you imagine that? But what you have done... What you have done today to make it official in memory of Kevin Duckworth is a very, very fine gesture. Here was a young man from Chicago, Illinois, who came up the hard way, made his way in life, became an NBA basketball player, landed with the Portland Trailblazers, and loved this community from day one. He hugged, and he was a big hugger. He just loved to hug everybody. And I miss that to this day. But he hugged this community and this state. And yes, as you mentioned, Commissioner Saltzman, he loved to hunt and fish. So in his memoriam, to have his name on a dock in downtown Portland on the Willamette is very, very fitting. I miss that young man to this day because he loved this city and he loved the kids. He loved everything he did. And we all will miss him. But I'm going to go down to that dock and fish in his memory.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Same sentiments as Sean just said. Thank you all for the council for acknowledging Kevin Duckworth once again. And I know he would say, "No way! I didn't know they were going to do that." You know, and he always
right.
And you know he'd be beaming. And from ear to ear, and I'm quite sure he is looking down. And he might just come down there when you go down there to fish. Like Charlie said, you know, here's a young man that came here from Chicago and just immediately embraced Portland. And what a better fit for somebody to love the outdoors and he traveled all over Oregon fishing and hunting, as I found out last summer. I didn't know he went so many places that were so remote. But everywhere that we went that he had been, people just flocked to him when we stopped somewhere. So that's a true account of what a person is when people outside the world of basketball knows who you are and embrace you for being just that person instead of just the athlete they see on TV a lot. And just want to thank you all for once again acknowledging him. And I speak on his behalf, since I know him probably best, that he would say, you know, a great thanks to all of y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Deal?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else signed up?
That's all who signed up.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward and testify on this? If not, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, Mr. President, I want to begin by saying that I have a confession. In the early 90s, it is possible, although I don't have a complete recollection, that I may have rooted against this team as a resident of another state on a different coast.
That could be a charge of treason. I'm not sure. We'll have to look into it.
But I have redeemed myself by becoming not only a passionate supporter of this team, but a season ticket holder. So I see Jay Isaac smiling in the corner, so I don't want to. So I would ask for a dispensation at today's hearing. Actually, as a kid growing up, I remember the games that were played in Memorial Coliseum very vividly because of the look of the game on TV. It was such an intimate setting, and the people were so close to the action. And I always associated that with West Coast basketball, the arenas where people were right there, and the fans were so engaged. I had a chance to read a few things about Kevin Duckworth just to learn more about him, and I just want to share a few things that I learned that may be of interest to people that don't already know everything about his remarkable life. And the first thing that struck me was, in high school, for a period of time, he was a mere 6'4". And in fact, he was undersized for his grade, and Thorn Ridge High School cut him from the team initially.
Wow.
Later, because of his perseverance, he made the junior varsity in high school. And as a sophomore, he began to develop his skills, never doubting his ability, but working to overcome any barrier. And by the time he was a senior, he was getting overtures from schools like Georgetown and Villanova, as well as Eastern Illinois University, where he finally chose to attend. And I also learned that he had a 19-point average and a 9-rebound average through his college career. And he finished as the all-time rebounding leader of that fine school. When he went into the NBA draft, consistent with what he had experienced in the early part of his high school years, he was rated the most underrated player in the country as he went into the draft. And we know that he wasn't originally drafted by Portland. It was some team down in Texas. I won't mention their name. They've had some success lately, but it's probably as a result of the refereeing and not the talent. The walking rule was enforced. I'm not sure they would have quite the success. Now, I think of Kevin Duckworth as someone who played for a very long time with the Trailblazers. That was my memory. And so it was interesting to learn that his career was with the Blazers was seven seasons. And when he left, he was 10th in our Blazer history in points. Had a remarkable record in rebounds, field goal attempts, field goals made. He played in 2 NBA All-Star games. And I guess we're hoping this year that a guy named Roy gets a chance for his. Is that now confirmed? Will he be an All-Star?
Not yet.
But if there's any justice, he will be. And we'll have perhaps 2 representatives on the All-Rookie team. He's only one of 13 Trailblazers to be selected to an NBA All-Star team. You know, his post-retirement work is as impressive as what he did on the court. And a couple of things I just want to share with people. He was a heritage ambassador for the Trailblazers, incredibly active in his community. And, you know, we're different than a lot of cities. There are some cities, and Jerome Kersey knows this, there are some cities that have basketball teams where it doesn't matter what you do off the court as long as you score a lot of points on the court. And this has always been a community where we've held people to very high standards off the court and on the court, and it's the reason we have this passionate love affair with this team that's waned from time to time, but that love affair has been rekindled because of the way people conduct themselves on and off the field. The court, excuse me. It was a terrible tragedy when he died in August of 2008. Of heart failure, and I was really shocked to be reminded that he was merely 44 years old. What a tragedy. I just turned 50. I still think of myself as a young man. My daughter doesn't, but 44 years old. The Oregon Community Foundation, the Trailblazers, have established a memorial scholarship in his name, which I think is very fitting. And today we as a community get to make another statement. And this man was loved for what he did as a community citizen and what he did on the basketball court and the high standards he set in our community. And that's a very important role, setting high standards in our community. And so I have to tell you, as the new Parks Commissioner, it is a great honor for me to cast the first vote today and to vote aye. Thank
Prince.
You.
Well, for 13 years, I was a basketball mom in Portland Public Schools, and so I want to thank you, Mr. Kersey, Mr. Shanley, for the whole organization, for the role models that you were to my sons to look up to enjoy the game, to be part community members. And Kevin Duckworth was certainly a valued community member, and it's wonderful that we will remember him always through the naming of this dock. And as a community organizer and a certified code geek, I'm really excited that we followed the process to name this by going through the council-adopted policy, going to the neighborhood association, making sure that we went through all of the steps so that we can be here today rejoicing in this affirmative action for naming the Duckworth Dock. And I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I just wanted to thank Matt Grum in my office, but also to acknowledge Mayor Tom Potter, who shared my my passion for having this dock renamed in honor of Kevin Duckworth. And it took us a little longer than his term of office to get this done, but not by much. So it's a great addition to our city's cultural heritage to have this dock in the shadow of the Rose Quarter named after a great trailblazer, Kevin J. Duckworth. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, I think this, although it's tragic to have lost Kevin, this is very timely coming to us today. We needed something to lift our spirits. And I love Jerome Kersey, but I've idolized Bill Schonlein. To have Bill here today is not unlike me going to church and getting a spiritual rejuvenation. So I so appreciated seeing Bill here today and listening to his voice. I only wish I would have thought to Brock tape in that I played the last time you were here of calling the 1977 championship game. That was one of the most thrilling, honestly, days on the council for all of us to hear you in your voice calling that game. Kevin, you said Jerome, you said Kevin embraced Portland. Well, Portland embraced Kevin as well, just as hard. And it is such a wonderful tribute, and I really appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's work on this and former Mayor Potter's bringing this tribute to such a great man and such a fitting memorial. And please call me, Bill, when you go fishing, and I will, if you don't have a license, I'll do what I can to get you out of any trouble. So. Yeah, I thought I should remind you that you do need a license to fish, Bill. So thanks very much. Aye. Passes. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you being here. And then we'll go back to item 50 that Commissioner Fritz asked be pulled from the consent agenda. Carl, will you please read item 50?
Authorize a contract and provide for payment for construction of the digester expansion project at the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant, project number E08106.
Commissioner Fritz.
So I pulled this item merely because it's a contract for $27 million, $27.5 million. So I wanted the citizens of Portland to know that we're spending their money wisely and just give the staff a chance to describe what it is that this contract does and to note that we are putting Portlanders to work as we said we would. It's something that's been in the pipeline, no pun intended, for quite some time. But that we are continuing to do the work of the city and continuing to spend money on these important projects.
Commissioners, I am Bill Ryan. I'm the chief engineer of the Bureau of Environmental Services. And this isn't in the pipeline. It's actually at the end of the pipeline. So this is an expansion to the treatment plant that has long been planned and is really timely in that as we get to the end of the CSO program, certainly the services of an expanded treatment plant will be necessary. As far as getting projects out and putting Portlanders to work, this is a great opportunity. There's a lot of manpower. There's a lot of materials and equipment associated with this project. It's very similar to a large building project in that it has just about everything in it, from mechanical equipment, concrete, rebar, all of the components that will certainly have an impact on our local economy.
And the contract comes back to us for approval once you've done it, or no?
Yes, it will come back as a report from the purchasing director.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from council?
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Is there any member of the audience that would like to testify on this matter? It is it is not an emergency ordinance, so it passes to a second reading. Carla, is that correct?
It is an emergency. We should vote on it.
Okay. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. It's adopted. We'll move to the regular agenda. Carla, please read item 53.
Authorize a letter of agreement with the District Council of Trade Unions for terms and conditions of employment of certain employees classified as structural inspectors in the Bureau of Development Services.
Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Leonard, commissioners. My name is Patrick Ward. I'm a labor relations coordinator with the Bureau of Human Resources. The ordinance before you would authorize a letter of agreement that we've entered into with the District Council of Trade Unions to pay certain structural inspectors at the Bureau of Development Services an additional 80 cents per hour to their base wage if they acquire and use a State of Oregon mechanical inspector license in their work. And the Bureau recommends its approval.
Questions from council? Thank you, Patrick. Is there anybody who'd like to testify on this item? It is an emergency ordinance, so Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
So this ordinance shows our appreciation for our city employees who get certification and maintain their training and advanced certificates. So it's cost 80 cents an hour. It's really a nominal reward increase and provides an incentive for continuing education, so that's a good thing. Aye.
Right. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. Item 54.
Authorize acquisition of an 18,450 square foot lot adjacent to Lincoln Park for addition to the park.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard and members of the council. We are coming before council today to seek your approval to complete the acquisition of 18,450 square feet of property, which would allow us to complete Lincoln Park. We have briefed your offices on this matter. It would be funded out of SDCs. It meets our goals of expanding our parkland in underserved areas in East Portland. There is a specific issue regarding the purchase price. We have a willing but not motivated seller who is willing to hold on to the property, waiting for a day when perhaps the market recovers and they may be able to get a better price. Because of that circumstance, while the assessed value is $263,000, we are recommending and seeking approval for a purchase price of $280,000, which represents a 6% premium. But because of a three-month so-called rent-back clause of $1,200 a month, it will reduce the premium to 4%. And Steve Planchon is here to answer any questions you may have about this transaction.
Good afternoon. I'm Steve Planchon, Property and Acquisitions Manager at Parks, and I'm available for questions.
Any questions from council? You're off the hook, Steve.
Thank you.
Is there anybody that would like to testify on this item? If not, it is an emergency ordinance. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I think this is an important piece of the puzzle which helps us complete our work on Lincoln Park. I want to thank Linda Robinson for the letter that she submitted in support explaining why she thought this was important. And I want to thank my colleagues for their support. Aye.
Fritz.
We're acquiring important parkland in East Portland. It's already somewhat part of the park and has been used as part of the park, which is one of the reasons that I'm supporting the increased allocation. I was also reminded that in the recent acquisition in Gateway, when a we went back and did another appraisal. It ended up that the property had actually increased in value in relation to a, just last summer. So it does seem like it's an appropriate amount. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm glad to always be adding parkland to our park inventory. Good move. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. Item 55.
Authorized utility license fee settlement with Quest Corporation.
Commissioner Fritz.
I am delighted to be bringing further good news to our city in form of an infusion of money, and I'd like to invite David Olson to come up and talk about it.
Perhaps, Commissioner, I could invite Judy Pepler of Quest to come.
Yes,
at the
please.
Same time, save you a couple minutes. Thank you.
I'm David Olson, Director of your Office of Cable and Franchise Management, and certainly we're very happy to bring this forward to you. This is a settlement of an audit that not only affects Portland, but in fact is part of a settlement for upwards of 70 Quest cities around the state. It took a lot of hard work and goodwill by all concerned. There are bumps in the road, but I certainly am very happy to be here today, and hopefully the timing of this settlement with Quest and the funds involved also come at a good time for the city, fiscally speaking. And with that, I'd turn it over to Judy.
Members of the council, I'm Judy Pepler with Quest, and we're also pleased to have reached settlement on this audit. It was a long time coming, but I think all parties are satisfied with the settlement result and would urge you to approve it.
Thank you, Judy, very much.
So I do have a question that there are other parties that are involved in this, and the settlement of $635,000 for Portland is dependent on those other parties agreeing. Where are we and how many of them have agreed? And
Commissioner Fritz, members of the council, all of them have agreed, but all of them need to bring it before their city councils, just as you're doing here.
Great.
So we're in the middle of that process right now.
Thank you so much for your goodwill and negotiations. And as this, we're all looking at our diminishing budgets, it's good news for the citizens of Portland that we can provide more services with this money.
Thank you.
Judy, I just want to acknowledge that I think I get two pieces of mail every day from Quest. And I believe, if I can understand the offer, it has something to do with switching my service on my cable and some bundling. So as soon as I actually have some time to read the fine print, I'll get back to you.
That would be excellent, Commissioner.
You'll stop getting their mail.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody that would like to testify?
No one signed up.
Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
I'm obviously pleased that this matter could be resolved through negotiation. And to Commissioner Fritz's point and to the Bureau Director's point, the timing of this payment could not be better. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, first I have to commend Commissioner Saltzman because it was under his leadership that this settlement that was actually negotiated and brought forward. So it's really delightful that I can take the credit for it. it's good that the city is watching out for ways that money that's owed is collected and that we're going to be able to put this back into the general fund. The Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management has just 9 employees, and yet they bring in over $60 million of money to the cities, mostly to the general fund. And so it's an exciting time to be looking at ways to maximize those revenues and provide the services to the city. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to say this is really good to have this settlement out of the way or have this settlement. I want to acknowledge David Olson of the Cable Office, but I also want to acknowledge Ben Walters, our city attorney, who capably represented not only the city of Portland, but indeed the entire League of Oregon Cities in resolving this. So good work to everybody. It's nice to have this settled. Pleased to vote. Aye.
Leonard.
And I, too, appreciate all the good work. I was the commissioner in charge of Cable 3 commissioners ago and still have fond memories of working with everybody there. Thank you, Judy, for all your help. Very much appreciate it. Aye. Item 56.
Add new provisions to address the exterior of non-residential structures, correct and clarify code language.
Second reading vote only.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. Item 57.
provide for reduced distribution of campaign funds available to participating publicly financed candidates and define terms in the special election for auditor.
Good afternoon. Gary Blackmer, City Auditor. Before you is an ordinance that reduces the amount of money for public campaign financing for any candidates for the term of auditor. Last week you approved a resolution to put that on the May 19th ballot. What this does is reduces the amount of money available to any candidates to $50,000 for the primary instead of $150,000. And if there needs to be a runoff, there would be a $50,000 limit on the runoff, the same as in the primary. If there is a candidate who is privately financed and is spending more than the $50,000 in the primary, the amount of matching could be as much as 100%, meaning another $50,000 on top of that. And then for the general, it would be 150%. Those are exactly the proportions that are in the current code for regular elections. There's also some dates that are set forth in terms of just defining what are the periods for qualifying and so forth. We had a minor Scrivener's error that we sent a memo out on that. We had the general election period beginning on May 20th, and it should have been May 27th. So it was just a typo. We had an overlap of the primary and general period by 7 days. So that's just the only other piece. We really tried to make the changes as minimum as possible to make sure that we could apply the code as it's written, but reducing the amount from $150,000 to $50,000. The Citizen Campaign Commission members just kind of did a telephone tree among themselves, and they had no problem with the $50,000 for the general as well. They had originally recommended $67,000, which was taking the direct proportions that are applied between the primary and general and just applying to them to the $50,000. But from their standpoint, they didn't have any big concerns about switching from $67,000 to $50,000. Are there any questions?
Mr. Gary, I have a couple of questions if sure. I could. You referenced the Citizen Campaign Commission and apparently a phone tree. Have they made a formal recommendation that is before us?
They did last week, which was the $50,000 for the primary and $67,000 for the runoff.
With respect to the recommendation that's before us today,
they didn't have a chance to formally get together or make anything official, but all of them, you know, they did have a debate at their meeting between $50,000 and $67,000 in the runoff, and there wasn't a strong sentiment. It was more, let's follow the spirit of what the code says in terms of proportionality. So there wasn't any real strong articulated argument for $67,000, which was their official position, versus this $50,000. And from a spending standpoint, it could make a small difference in a campaign, but not that much.
I just want to make sure we're clear how we characterize their input on this. I mean, if a member of the Citizen Campaign Commission objected to these numbers, they would be free to come here today and provide testimony.
Correct.
Could you remind us how much money is left in this fiscal year that has been budgeted for campaigns?
I don't have it off the top of my head. I pulled it together about a month ago. I believe there is about $1.1 million in the fund right now.
And that's money from this fiscal year that's been set
aside? Well, it's accumulated for a number of fiscal years that, I mean, essentially, we have to build a fund for unanticipated elections that might come up. And from our standpoint, we can't just budget year by year. So to that extent, we do have a fund there that covers those contingencies. So that's why it's more than we would necessarily need at this point, and we've reduced the contributions annually to it as we've had a better sense of what the historical spending is on campaign financing.
My final question is, does your office have a recommendation on the matter before us today?
On this matter?
Correct.
No, I mean, I feel comfortable. I expressed my you know, my views on it last week, and I'm okay with what council's deciding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a clarification. I don't understand about changing the general election period to the 27th. Isn't the election on May 19th?
It's for the reporting purposes that there are certain bills that come in after the 20th, and from our standpoint, we wanted to have a clear break, and we had put the period from January 15th to May 26th was a primary period, and then the period from May 20 to August 3 was the general, so we had that overlap. We needed to have a clear break there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Further discussion by council. Is there anybody signed up to testify?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Carol Cushman.
Please come forward. Good afternoon, Carol. You'll have 3 minutes to testify, and please identify yourself for the record.
As soon as you get the chair, slide for me. There.
Thank you.
I'm Carol Cushman, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League strongly supports voter-owned elections, and we encourage you to continue your support of Portland's system of public campaign finance. With a special election for the position of auditor, you are again considering modifications to the basic program to fit this specific circumstance. We support the Citizen Campaign Commission's proposal and appreciate Commissioner Fritz's contributions to its development. While we understand the reasons to reduce the amount of initial funding for candidates in this special election, it is important to leave in place the matching funds option. As the Citizen Campaign Commission continues its ongoing work on recommendations for permanent rules for special elections, we trust the members will keep in mind the very important role our auditor fills and how that role has changed in recent years. In addition to holding city bureaus accountable for their performance, the office now oversees the Citizen Campaign Finance Fund, the Independent Police Review Division, lobbying regulation, and the Ombudsman's Office. The new responsibilities and powers have the potential to attract more candidates and could lead to more competitive races than we have seen in the past. The position may be less visible than the commissioners, but like the city commissioner, it is elected citywide and of equal importance. For these reasons, as we move forward, full funding should be a priority in terms of initial allocation and matching support for the auditor position. Portland has been a leader in establishing voter-owned elections for elective office. We urge you to continue to show your commitment to this groundbreaking program by ensuring adequate funding for special elections when the Citizen Campaign Commission submits its recommendations for permanent rules. The League would like to thank the Citizen Commission for its work and the work that its members continue to do, and to thank the City Council for actively supporting campaign finance reform. The League agrees with those of you who stress the importance of educating the public about the auditor's race, and we're committed to organizing a candidate forum if the race is contested. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Carol. Is there anybody else that would like to testify? If not, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Well, Ms. Cushman, in her prepared testimony, said that the League of Women Voters appreciates Commissioner Fritz's contributions to the development of this ordinance, and I want to echo that. It has been a pleasure in the brief time that we've had a chance to work together to work on this and a number of issues, and Amanda, I want to single out your leadership and bring us together around this proposal, and thank you for the time that you've spent. The one part of the matter we're voting on that strikes me as still anomalous is that the subject of this is a, quote, reduction of something. And I just want to state that while I have been distracted this week and have not had a chance to go back and reread, because gray area, and I realize open to interpretation. But one of my frustrations has been that in the absence of clear guidelines governing special elections, we are by default required to come together and use our best judgments to get to a number. And in that regard, I appreciate the efforts of the Commission in struggling with this issue, and I also acknowledge that it is ultimately our role to try to come through the process of compromise to a figure that the community can accept. But I do think that having firm rules in place governing all elections, which includes special elections, is appropriate. And I am grateful in this instance that we have the occasion to act on setting the guidelines before anybody has gotten into the election so that we're not changing the rules in midstream. I want to thank everybody for their good work on this matter, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, Commissioner Fish is pleased with my leadership. I'm delighted to be working with the City Council, who are open to considering things. I met one-on-one with every member of the council and with a number of other folks who gave good input into this. Obviously, we would like to have better rules in place so that we're not scrambling to do reductions or changes. So we'll work very hard to help the Citizens Campaign Commission to come forward with those revised rules in the very next package, which will be coming to council in the next few months. And we will be amending the rules based on the experience of last year's elections, and also we will get more information from this election as to what those new regulations might be permanently in the code for auditor's election. Reiterating what we discussed last week, that the auditor's office is no less important than those of the rest of the city council. The amount of funding that's being proposed reflects the fact that there has never been an auditor's race that has cost more than $50,000, at least not in this area. And so one of the purposes of campaign finance reform was to reduce the cost of elections rather than raise it. So I do believe it's important and appropriate to reduce the amount of funding. And I'm also very pleased that we've been able to come forward both last week and this week with a proposal which there's certainly some debate, and the Citizens Campaign Commission was very involved in formulating this proposal. But there's a certain degree of consensus that perhaps in the past hasn't been present. And so it puts us in a good place for this particular election, that we're not debating the merits of public campaign financing in this special election for the auditor's position, but we are proposing something which I believe can work. I hope that candidates use it. I believe that neighborhoods and others can help get any candidate who files to get more public education, public awareness. We need to get back to the work that the city is supposed to be doing. And I'm greatly appreciative of all my council colleagues for being open to getting this fix in place. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I also want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her nimble work on this in a short period of time she's been here. And thank the auditor's office for their good work as well. Aye.
Leonard.
And I want to echo both of what Commissioner Saltzman and Fish said. I suppose it's no secret that I haven't been entirely supportive of this program, including voting against its inception, singularly, when it was adopted, partly because I believed then that while I would raise reasonable and what I thought were rational concerns, what I got back at times felt more like ideology than reasonable responses. And so it's not put me in the best place to be able to make an informed judgment along the way. The notable exception has been after Amanda joined us on the council, and I felt like worked very hard to meet at least what I thought were reasonable concerns, meet me halfway on those. And that was refreshing, and you requited yourself well. And so I appreciate that, find myself in the place I want to be, which is to support this, and particularly on a consensus basis. So thank you, Amanda, for your good work. Aye. And with that, the council will be adjourned till next Wednesday, January 28th, 2009 at 9:30. Good job.